Hello everyone, welcome to Narrative Calculus, the podcast show where we review everything from movies to TV shows and books and everything in between. I'm Jonathan, a filmmaker, and this is...
Ty, a wannabe writer.
Who's actually working on a book right now. Ty, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
No, you can read about it when I publish it. Thank you. Also, okay, by the way...
We just wanted to give him a little plug right
okay,
there.
Okay, before we start, side note, Jonathan... When did your personality, your like, extreme personality drop by 20? Is this, like, in reaction to me being over the top here? Is that what's going on? I just have to comment because much more subdued than usual.
you keep complaining about it every time I'm like that, so I'm trying to accommodate you.
I have
you
no idea what you're talking about, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, today we're reviewing Rocky III, one of the greatest sports movies to be ever made. This is the third part of our Rocky series, coming out from the 23rd to the 27th, all on Thanksgiving weekend, because we are just so thankful for all of our listeners. Isn't that right, Ty?
Yeah, you guys are such an absolute pain in the neck. Yeah. I am really thankful for the fact that I have to watch, you know, dozens of movies just to barely keep up with the schedule. I love how it cuts into the rest of my leisure time. I really appreciate that. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely grateful, by the way. I'm sorry about that.
If you haven't left a review down below, be sure to do that. We're always looking for more feedback on our content and ways we can improve. So be sure it's a 5-star review, though. That's the only thing we ask.
Unless you're listening on Spotify, in which case they don't have reviews.
Back to Rocky III. This movie came out in 1982. It's about Rocky. Obviously, he's become a world champion after beating Apollo Creed. And there's a little montage at the beginning of him kind of like going through his life as a champion, holding the title 6 times, I believe. And it's about him going up against this new, hungrier, grittier, much tougher fighter named Clubber Lang, played by Mr. T, who gives us a very, very memorable performance here. This is one of his biggest roles. And it's about Rocky learning to get his mojo back and... you know, learning to, like, be hungry, get that eye of the tiger. It's like, eye of the tiger, baby. Eye of the tiger. So that's basically what happens during this movie. So now that we've given you guys a quick summary, why don't we start off with the characters? Obviously, we'll go to Rocky.
Yeah, Rocky, wow. You know, I feel, is it just me, or does it feel like in these kinds of movies, on the third film, this is... I think we should come up with a name for it, Spider-Man 3 Syndrome or something, you know, right? The main character suddenly becomes a total, just really gets high off their victory, right? And then they revert back to how they were before they started to grow into a better person all of a sudden.
Is Spider-Man 3 your only example, or do you have, like, any other ones?
There were a few others, but I, like, forgot about them. But nonetheless,
Or maybe, like, Revenge of the Sith.
The Revenge of the Sith was the best one, man. It's the wrong direction.
Okay.
No, Revenge of the Sith, they actually... There was some kind of logic to the prequel trilogy, even if you disagree. Like, it was clearly planned out. Like, everybody can agree that one. It might have been a terrible plan, but you can see that there was planning involved. Here... No, there wasn't. Rocky 2 was already... There were times where it was very close to feeling unnecessary, but it still added on to the tale in new and interesting ways. Here, I feel like Rocky, he doesn't... Part of that is due to the poor... to the really poor plot, the really poor structure. It's all over the place, and we'll get to that later. But Rocky himself, he really doesn't... His problems are just a total mess. You don't really understand what his problem is until Adrian just spells it out painstakingly. Because, you know, us audience members, us unintelligent fellows, we really need to hear him address it very specifically so that we understand, right? Because if they don't mention it, we might forget. You know, we might miss it. You know, us in our 93 IQ brains. And I can barely even understand his problem myself. Like, it's something like, all right, I'm scared. I'm scared, Adrian. You know, everything was a lie right from the start.
Well,
you know, and because I didn't really like them.
I feel like they're, I mean, they are clear at some point about it because, like, when he's like, when he's talking to Mick and he finds out that all the fights were fixed, and that kind of like puts him in a dilemma, and he kind of has this what would you call that? The one where the like the fake something? Isn't there like a syndrome that they call that? Like
imposter syndrome?
Yeah. He has like imposter syndrome. So I feel like he does have something to struggle with throughout the movie, but him being afraid, I don't know.
That's what he said. He specifically said it.
I know he said it, but like based on what was happening before, I think that like a lack of motivation was definitely shown, which I mean, I think you could plug like if you were really looking for it.
That's part of what confused me. That's part of what confused me, because it swaps between the two problems. Like at first we assume, okay, he's not taking his champion thing seriously. He's not hungry anymore. All right, fair enough. Make that the problem. Mm-hmm. No, actually, he's scared, quote unquote, because Mickey suddenly dropped this huge bomb right before the middle of the story, which was just it throws everything for a loop, and it's not. And because you have these two problems kind of like competing for our attention, none of them ever really shine through at all. Like,
yeah.
Again, going back to Spider-Man 3, there were like four villains in that movie, and none of them were good because they didn't have enough time to
competing for our attention.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like that's what's going on here. Kind of. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Rocky's either suffering from fear or a lack of motivation. And another thing that I figured was weird is like, when he says, like, it's like, you know, I got busted up, but now there's you, now there's the kids. I mean, when he says that, it makes me think, is like, is he afraid for himself or Adrian and the kids or both? Because he says he's afraid, and then afterwards he says, if I got busted up, it didn't matter, but now there's you, now there's the kids. But when he first says it, it kind of
really
makes it seem like he's actually afraid, so... Yeah, I think we can just agree that they just didn't
probably
do a great job with that. Let's...
I was going to call attention to Rocky and Apollo's relationship, but then I realized that's probably what you were about to...
Oh, no, it wasn't. But yeah, okay, continue then, sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was going to talk about Clubber, but okay, yeah, let's go.
Maybe we should talk about Apollo, though, and his sympathetic portrayal in the series first before we move on to their relationship. Because Apollo, man, he really gets a level up in this film. Like, in the first two films, first film, he's there, he's an okay character, but he's really on the side. Second film, he takes a stronger precedence here in that film. You know, he's there,
after
you can understand his struggle, right?
Yeah. After, like, he's like, you know, they did a good job with at least some development of him, with him reading the hate mail and his wife saying, like, a couple of, like, you know, well-placed lines. Like, you know, he came after you again and again. Like, we don't need a man like that in our lives. And he's like, not caring. And his wife says, wouldn't you rather spend time with the kids than reading hate mail? So he did get some stuff there, but here it's, like, up 10 because now... He outright explains to Rocky, like, you know, you did to me, this guy just did to you, and I didn't get the opportunity to make it right. But now you got that opportunity, so you can't mess that up. Which was, I don't know, that was some really good character writing.
Interestingly enough, if you think about it, the second one, he was more of the protagonist. Well, protagonist and antagonist in some stories can pretty much be...
Do you mean his character arc? Because like, are you saying that like his arc in the second movie was basically Rocky's in this movie, and how Rocky's arc was basically the same as Clubber? You get what I'm saying?
That is an interesting
when you said he was the protagonist, I thought you were thinking like, because he's in like, Rocky's now the protagonist, but he's in the same situation as Apollo was when Apollo was the antagonist. You see what I'm saying?
Actually, yeah, that is true, and that's very interesting. But what I was going to say was that something interesting to note is that whereas Apollo was the central antagonist in the previous film, right? And here, he's the side character, and oddly enough, I think I prefer him as the side character.
You would refer to him as a side character?
No, I prefer.
Oh, prefer him as a side character. Isn't he a side character, though?
What do you mean? I mean, in the previous film, he was the antagonist. Here, he's the side character. I'm saying that side character.
I was saying you'd prefer him as a side character in this movie, and I was like, here it is, but... So, you think he would have been better as a side character than the antagonist in the second movie? But I feel like what they built there, they really needed to... They had, like, a good opportunity to ride off from that, which is where Rocky 2, like, you know...
Oh yeah,
like
absolutely.
Having him get in the ring. Like what other excuse would there have been to get Rocky back in the ring than Apollo being
right, unhappy lost
and wanting to make it?
Yeah, that's
yeah. So
he needed to be an antagonist.
So how
in
could
the second
he have been
film,
a side character?
But
yeah,
no, he needed to be an antagonist for the second film. It only made sense to continue from there. But what I'm saying is, while I can accept the characterization as an antagonist in the second film, for me, I enjoyed him a lot more as a side character in the third film, and I think it was really clever for them not to just drop him by the wayside, but to make him, you know, a pretty strong character who's actually there, who's real, and, you know, he's all cool, and it's just, I like him. I like the dude. Mm-hmm. What can I say?
Yeah. Just like the character, yeah. Yeah.
His personality bounces off of Balboa so well, too. Like, it's hard to notice in the first two, because they're, like, the only times they meet, they're, like, first film, he jokes around a little bit, but he doesn't get much screen time. Second film, they're basically trying to kill each other whenever they're not, but here, they're a bit more friendly, and, like, you can really see how well suited they are for each other. Like, Apollo is just this smooth-talking, you know, jokester kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Balboa is the most is just dead simple, you know, almost stoic in his personality, especially compared to you know, Apollo, who's just all the way over the top, all over the place, right? And I just really like the characterization between those two. It's really cool.
Well, Ty, if I didn't know any better, I would think that you are praising some acting. Is that correct? Because you know, as much as you'd like to credit this to the writing, it isn't all that. Like, a good percentage of this, the reason you enjoyed it was the acting. So you want to give them a little credit there?
I mean, like, I guess that guy who played Rocky, I can't remember his name. I guess he was
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Baloney. Yeah, he was okay, I guess. You know, I didn't really notice him much in the role. And as you all know, my perspective is the only one that counts when we're talking about movies, everybody. Don't listen to anybody else. I don't know where this is coming from. Okay, continue.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. For some reason today, Ty is like a tyrannical film reviewer. I don't know. He just wants to enslave everyone and not let anyone's opinions be out. He's like, Maybe he'd feel at home in communist Russia during the next Rocky movie, but we'll go on to that later. okay, so let's talk real quick about Clubber Lang, who I think is the best antagonist in any of the Rocky movies. Like, I think he's the most developed. Like, the first time there was like, there were like in his motivation. So the first time there was obviously Apollo, and then the second time there's Apollo who wants revenge. But this time, we just get to see like an up and coming fighter who's like really hungry, But, you know, when they say, Rocky, you were hungry and stuff like that, he really wasn't, though. You know what I mean? Like, he really wasn't. Remember, like, when he first got the opportunity to fight, and in the first movie, and he says, no, I don't want to. Remember that? And in the second one, it took, like, half the movie for him to, like, practically get to get into the ring. And Apollo says, like, you thought I was tough, this chump will kill you. And he's like, you know, I trained hard, but I didn't have the eye. You had the eye of the tiger, man. Like, when he says that and he compares him to Clubber, I think that is completely unjustified, because I don't think Rocky had any of that from the beginning.
I mean, you have to be pretty hungry to be willing to get into the ring with the champion, last the 15, and just, like, take the worst beating of your life ever, and just keep on getting back up no matter what. Like, that kind of endurance, that is something he clearly didn't show in the Clubber, whatever his name was, Clubber or what?
Mm-hmm. Clubber Lang.
Yeah, Clubber Lang. Like...
Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, he had the, like, at first he said no, right? And then the second time, it took, like, most of the movie for him to be willing to get in the ring. This time, Clubber sees someone, and he wants to hurt him. And he goes after him. He's training as hard as he can, like, as hard as he possibly can. He goes after him. He's like, he goes to the statue unveiling, and literally he starts, I don't know, what would you call it, like, making fun of him? Like, I mean, is taunting? There, like, a word for what he was doing there?
Taunting?
Yeah, taunting, that's a good one. And then he was just, like, taunting. I'm like, Rocky never did that with Apollo, you know what I mean? Like, he was never just, like, after him to go hurt him, you know what I mean? I think that's the kind of hunger that, like, Clubber got, which is a reason that I think he won, which is obviously, you know, the point of the movie, is because Rocky didn't have that. But it still, at the end of the movie, doesn't feel quite justified to me, because I felt like Clubber, he was someone who really wanted to be there, who earned the right to be there, who worked hard to be there, and, like, it felt like Rocky, like, had his shot. So I think, like, the villain to me was much more sympathetic in this movie than any of the other ones. So that's why, to me, I think he's the best one.
Well, first of all, again, I think that Rocky had hunger. He was just expressing himself in a different way than the obvious, yo, I'ma eat you up. It did take him, like, a while.
Yeah, and I'ma crucify him real bad.
It did take him a while. To really get hungry in the first movie and the second movie. But when he did, like, those training montages, when he was going 110%, when he got into that ring and stared down Apollo, maybe he wasn't taunting him, but he was ready to die in those fights. He was ready to die if it meant a chance of victory. Third film? Mm-hmm. I mean, until, obviously, yeah, he gets his mojo back.
Well, I'm trying to make this as, like, a in contrast to Clubber. So, like, what do you think of Clubber as a villain?
Yeah, I mean, I guess compared to, like, Tommy the Gigantic, you know, I'm trying to think of a polite word, in the fifth movie, and let's see here, the Russian dude in the fourth movie, who's literally Ivan a robot. Drago. He's a living robot, and that is his entire character, right up until he has, like, two lines at the end. I guess he's second best, but only because everybody else every other villain out of the four villains are terrible villains. Really, really bad villains.
Yeah.
Apollo, I prefer much more, and I thought was much more interesting myself.
You'd like as an antagonist, you'd prefer Apollo to Clubber Lang.
Yes.
Wow.
Especially because I think even while he was the antagonist, he meshed with Balboa, contrasted with Balboa quite well, even though you didn't always get to see that. Clubber T, he is just remember how I mentioned the Russian guy was a machine? It's the same with this dude. He's a one, he has this one note personality. He is, all right, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. Yeah, I'm gonna do sit ups. I'm gonna do push ups. Man, you know, I'm gonna chop you up and eat you for fried salami, man. You watch out. I mean, like, dude, get a girlfriend or something. But, like, just stop. Just stop, man.
But, I mean, I think contrasts, I mean, I think the way that he, like you said, how Apollo meshes, I think the way he contrasts with Rocky in this film, I don't know, it just makes it really work for me, and his, like, his motivations against Rocky's, like, you know, complacency just makes him, like, really sympathetic to me, you know? I mean, like, and there's something under there, and you see that during, like, the last interview that he gives when he says, like, no, I don't hate Balboa, but I pity the fool. You know, you remember that scene? That's like one of his most famous, like, that's one of
Clover,
Mr. T's most, iconic lines ever. But I don't know. I don't know. His motivation and his drive. I don't know. It just really clicks with me. I don't know what it is, but I think he's the most what's the difference between sympathetic and empathetic?
Empathy means you feel the same feelings that those that person is feeling. Okay. Like, for example, when I saw Rocky get kicked in the jaw or punched in the jaw, I felt empathy because I knew exactly how that felt. Sympathy, I think, is more compassion. Like, I feel so sorry for you, man. I hope things will get better. Okay, yeah. So you go ahead and
okay, yeah, I can, I definitely empathize with Clubber more in this movie, but that's why I think, to me, I think this might just be a me thing, but I think that makes him the best villain, in my book at least. And so there's Mickey, who gets
killed,
maybe like a little more, yeah, that too, but maybe like a little more characterization in this movie, because we see that, like, obviously, before we knew that he cared about Rocky, but we didn't really see it being shown. I mean, he was, like, in the hospital with him and stuff like that, and, I mean, he said a lot, but, like, in here, like, he really showed it. But, at the same time, that, like, that cost Rocky his motivation and, you know, his drive putting up against those other people. So what did you think about the choices he made in this movie? Like, do you think they were justified? Do you think he should have consulted with Rocky? Do you think he should have made them in the first place?
I think he should have been upfront with Rocky right from the start, and it just makes more sense to me. But at the same time, I do like the moral complexity there, and it makes him feel a bit more real compared to a lot of these characters. Him making an honest mistake, and then never even getting to repent for it. Never really getting to ever really make it up to Rocky 100%. At least it felt like that to me, that he never really...
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that, I mean, him having to make that decision and making it gives him a lot more depth than any of the other films. I don't think there's... But then I think that's just about it, and
I just want to mention his death was completely manufactured. It was 100% just there. I could see no real purpose for it other than to give Rocky a motivation. it wasn't so that the story could be better. It was because we needed some reason for Rocky to, like, have a breakdown. So, here, let's kill off somebody close to him.
Well, maybe they did that because, like, the other end of the spectrum would have been, like, him just completely, like, decking Mickey after, after making that, like, putting off to those fighters, like, what, would you do that? And he just beats him to a pulp. Like, I don't know. Like, that may have happened. I don't think it would have happened, but. So I think that's just about everything that happened to Mickey during this movie. How about Adrian?
I do like her growth from the other two movies. I think that was pretty cool that she starts out as basically a carpet, like, kind of people just kind of step all over her without even noticing she's there.
Oh. that was a pretty good joke.
Yeah. And in here, she basically shouts down her husband and tells him to get his stuff together. And I like that. I like that she becomes the rock in the relationship. And I just think that's really interesting. And that's, but other than that, I do feel that she was much more relegated to the background compared to the other two. So there's not really much to say, except for the fact, of course, that she shouldn't have been relegated to the background. And she should have been the main character, period. You know what? If Clubber T is scared to fight, I agree with Clubber whatever, Clubber Lang, sorry. I don't know why I called him Clubber T. I agree with Clubber Lang. They should have Adrian get out there and just knock his pants off. That would just be the funniest. It would be the greatest scene in movie history.
I thought isn't there something else that you said would have been the greatest scene? Oh, no, sorry, that was somebody else I was talking to. Never mind. So,
I'm glad I take such an esteemed place on your friends list, man, that you confuse what I'm saying with other random people. I appreciate that, buddy.
Okay, so I don't know, like we talk about Adrian and her complexity or whatever, how much he's grown. To be honest, though, I don't feel like after the second movie, she doesn't really do anything, and I feel like she's kind of become a tool. Like, you know how sometimes, like in Star Wars, maybe like use the Force as just like a screenwriting tool.
Or like Mickey's death earlier, to
a means to an end. I feel like whenever she's used, it's always like that. You know what I mean? She's always just like a screenwriting tool, and you know, to a certain degree, everyone is. But it doesn't feel like.
But it's so obvious and ham-packed,
which is okay though, because the movie isn't called like. It isn't called like Rocky and Adrian, or it's not like there's like on any. It's not like on any of the posters. It's like Rocky and Adrian up there with her. You know, this is obviously, you know, a movie about one person, and that's Rocky. And all these movies, people click with him, and that's why the series got 5 movies. So I don't know. I just don't really care that much if Adrian doesn't get characterization or not, to be honest. So before, you were talking about like some of the problems you had with the plot. Do you want to maybe like expand on those a little bit more?
Essentially speaking, my main problem with this plot is that the first act doesn't come in until about midway through the movie. And we were talking about that earlier, where you have these weird they're competing for our attention, the main problem, the central problem of the character. Which one is it? I don't know, they're out in the arena, still fighting each other to the death, you know? And that's, you know, basically the first 30 minutes of this movie, first 30 minutes of this movie basically dumps the past two movies right down the drain. Oh, Adrian can't fight? I mean, Adrian has to fight? He can't be an advertiser or anything? Nah, forget that. No, Rocky's all over the place, man. He is more famous.
I did notice that too, but then I think that was a good thing that happened though, because like it kind of like showed his growth into that, you know? Like, you know how he said, like, you know, I'm trying really hard here, and, you know, you're being a rude guy, you know? And he was kind of like, he wasn't, like, in the headspace of, like, oh, I'm famous now, and, you know, I can do this, and he was still in that kind of, like, practical layman kind of, I don't know what you call it, like average man kind of mindset.
I thought that was the whole point of...
But then seeing him doing these...
sorry. I thought that was the whole point of the second movie, to show that he's not some super rich guy. He's not some. He can't easily just become some advertiser or anything. He's a fighter. He's a manual worker. He's not an office worker or any scientist or what or advertiser or whatever. His calling in life is to be a fighter.
Exactly. And so this is development, Ty. I don't know if you've heard of it, but in film, characters develop throughout the movies. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, fine. Let them develop, but don't let it completely...
Seeing him in his original, you know, when he had the quote-unquote hunger, and seeing him, like, you know, oh, he can't really do this because it's not him. It's us seeing him become that version of himself that he couldn't be before, in him losing the one thing that really made him great in the first place, which was his hunger, which is the eventual reason why he loses. He wins to Apollo because he had that hunger, that was the one thing about him. You know, he may not have been able to do an office job or a commercial, and that just wasn't him. But when he embraces that kind of, you know, celebrity kind of culture, that is stripped away from him, which leads to his somewhat eventual demise, which I thought was something really clever to do. And especially to, like, tying back, like, remember when he took Adrian to the zoo and how I talked about that?
Yeah.
Remember that was interesting? Now he's on the Muppet Show. And if you remember what he says in the second one, like, I don't know, maybe I'll get some, like, Muppet toys, you know, Ernie and Big Bird.
Okay, okay.
What's that frog named Kermit? And he's on the...
I think
that was some of the most clever... That was the clever parts of the movie. I don't know how you don't like that.
Look, I am all for development in my main characters. My problem with this is that it isn't development. It is degression. I don't know what the term is. It is the opposite of growth. It is decay.
I know, that's the point. He's decaying, and that's why he loses. It's because of his decay.
Okay, okay.
That's exactly the point.
The thing that frustrates me about plots like that is that when you grow with a character and you, like, see them grow over time and become better people, the last thing that you want to see happen is for them to just completely forget everything that they learned. Because it's like, why did I even watch the other few movies if they're just going to forget everything and end up worse off than they were? Like,
okay,
what was even the point?
That's kind of a different thing, though. That's a different thing, though. Like, how he was before was not any growth at all. There was like, when he was doing a bet, you couldn't do the commercials, there was no growth there. That was who he was. And now we're seeing him grow into somebody else. Before, it's not like, oh, he had to grow into the person who he was. No.
No, he did.
But now he...
In the first movie, he started out as someone who was totally unwilling to accept... I can't even remember now the first movie, but there was growth in the first movie. Can we agree on that?
In what way? Because Rocky's attitude and who he is as a person, I don't think changes at all throughout the movies, except here in the third one. Like, I think from the first one into the second one, he doesn't change much as a person. I think, like, maybe we see a better side of him that comes out because of Adrian, or, you know, or whatever it may be. But I feel like it's all still part of him.
Okay.
But here in the third one, when we see...
First movie, he starts out... you know what? I'm not even gonna try to do the first movie because I've already.
Okay, fine. Okay, just go.
But the second movie, the whole point of that movie, from what I could see, it was a badly structured movie. But the essential theme in it was that Rocky had to learn to accept who he was. Like, everything that happened, him buying all that random stuff and acting like a rich dude, you know, buy the watches, when he tries to apply for an office job, that's all attempts by him to refuse who he is. And in deciding to embrace the fact that he's a fighter and, you know, not run away from it and just, you know, go dive right into the battle, that's growth. That's him mm-hmm. becoming a better person and realizing who he is. And even if there wasn't growth, it's still very frustrating to watch a normal person suddenly overnight just become really just all suddenly have a bunch of flaws crop up for no apparent reason other than, the plot demanded it.
I don't know. I don't feel it's as artificial as you're making it sound. Like, I really do think that this is a decay of his character that, like, and, like, him accepting himself as a fighter doesn't really have anything to do with what we're doing, with what he's doing here, because he's still a fighter. He's accepted that part of himself, but he's also, like, you know, doing the commercials and doing all that stuff on the side. And I'm not really, like, talking about him as a fighter, but him as a person, I think, is, like, changing throughout this movie. That's kind of, like, decaying, and it's taking away. Because, well, I don't know, where would you draw the line in hunger between being a fighter and a person?
What do you mean? Can you explain?
Yeah, like his hunger. Would you attribute that to him being a fighter or who he is as a person?
Who he is as a person. Technique.
Okay, so if we can agree,
it's just, you know, I mean, they even mention it in Rocky V, actually, which I watched recently earlier, that what made Rocky special was not the technique, it was his heart. It was his character.
Yeah, and I think, like, seeing, like, his character, who he is, like, kind of changed throughout this third movie from what it was, I think. And it eventually, I don't know, I feel like I'm just restating myself, like, but I guess we can just agree to disagree. Because, I mean, like, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that it's right. I don't think it's like just like a plot device. I think it's something that would naturally happen with money and success.
Well, it doesn't matter if it would naturally happen if it doesn't, like, from a story perspective, feel right. But disregarding that, let me just give you an analogy here. So, we had a discussion about the Star Wars prequel movies, didn't we? Where you explicitly said that you thought it was totally absurd that Anakin starts out as a bad guy, suddenly turns good, then suddenly has his character arc restarted all over again in the third movie. Isn't this literally the exact same thing?
What do you mean? What do you mean? I don't get what you're saying. Like, when did I say he was becoming a villain?
You said he suddenly became a good guy at the beginning of the third movie when he was a total, you know, bad guy in the second movie. And then
Yes.
In the third movie, they basically...
But it comes out of nowhere. With this one, we see how the money and the fame changes him. It's not like... Like, there's no, like, outside reasons that would, like, have Rocky change. But, like, the whole reason he changes is because of all the money and fame that he gets from the fighting, but from his heart, you know? But then when he gets the money, the heart is stripped away, which causes him to lose the fight, which, I don't know, that makes sense to me. I don't know.
Maybe I'm just viewing it wrong. I'm trying to see these as a collection of movies when maybe I should be really seeing them as individual. I think that might be where I'm going wrong on this.
I don't know. But I think I definitely see where you're coming from. So how did you feel about the parts where Apollo was training him? Like, when Apollo goes to him and he says, like, you know, he wants to, like, train him to be able to beat Clubber Lang, and he takes him to back to where he all started. How did you think do you think that felt, like, out of place to you at all, or do you think it felt kind of natural? Because it seems like in the beginning it comes out of nowhere. I mean, it's a good scene, but, I mean, like, it's a good part of the movie, but his motivation to just, like, the only reason he does it is because he wants to fight Rocky at the end of the movie. I mean, I think we can both agree that that's the reason, right? Because he wanted that rematch.
Yeah.
And that just seems a little, like, flimsy to be, like, going out of his way and going all the way to California to be able to, you know? I mean, how did you feel about that?
I mean, in the first place, I don't think it really matters his specific motivation because, I mean, we were still able to enjoy the movie when he came up out of nowhere and talked to Rocky and asked to train him. Like, we weren't like, wait, why would he suddenly do that? It's like, okay, sure, it's random, but in that specific scenario, it doesn't matter that it's random. It's just, I would say what was essential in that scene was the simple fact...
So you'd say enjoyment would trump character.
No, I just think that for that specific scene, that that Apollo's motivation wasn't very essential, because Apollo isn't even a main character in the first place. All we're really interested in is Rocky. You can easily just slide that away and say, ooh, it's a mystery, and then leave it there. It doesn't really influence the plot that much what his motivation is.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. It just felt just a little out of place at the beginning. But I agree, we learned to kind of go over that. So,
I think the main theme of this movie was, let's run around in the pool so we can show off Sylvester Stallone's six-pack. That seemed to be the main theme of the story for me. Let's see here. Another lesson, first of all, be honest to if you're a boxing trainer, be honest to your students or trainees or whatever. You know, tell them that you're setting them up with fights that are really easy. Just tell them, be honest. Lesson number two, let's see here. Pauly is a racist. He's a low-key racist, in case you haven't figured that out yet. Lesson number four.
How? Wait, just give us an example.
You can't train him like you do your colored folk. He's a white man. Or he says something like
that. No, he says, like, you can't train him like a colored Friday. You don't have no rhythm. Or something like that.
Actually, it's racist towards it's racist to white people and black people, which is really fascinating. Well, Pauly has gone beyond in new levels there.
Is it true though?
Irrelevant to the question. Next. Okay.
No, I mean, I wonder if it's true. You know, that'd be interesting. I wonder what the line between justification between saying something like that and it actually being true or not. What do you think?
I don't know. I've never seen Sylvester Stallone dance. I can't tell you whether or not he has no sense of rhythm. So, you know.
Okay, but
it is very discriminatory though to just generally say.
Yeah.
It is harmless, but it's still discriminatory to say generally all colored folk have rhythm, all white folk. Oh gosh, what did I just say? All colored folk? Jeez Louise. And then all white folk don't have rhythm. And there are just a number of implications in that, especially because of the context where he's saying that in a, you know, like poor, very, a pretty poor neighborhood, you know, out on the hood or whatever you call that. Like there's some nasty implications that Pauly's hidden in there that I think are bad. But anyway, so seriously, the actual themes of this story, I think. So theme is, roughly speaking, the relationship between plot and character. I think we can agree on that, right?
Yeah, and
like it's what ties it all together.
Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that comes to mind to me when I think of that is the corruption that money can bring and how it can strip you of the one thing that made you successful in the first place and work really hard. I think those are the two themes that we can pick up on in this movie.
Yeah, the hard work thing seems to be really ingrained into the Rocky movies. You know, which I personally am disappointed by. I'd much rather prefer if they, like, lazed around and sipped pina coladas all day. I would much rather. I think I can agree with that ethic a bit more than I can agree with the hard work thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, you'd prefer. I think you'd prefer, like, you know, anime going on for, like, 12 hours a day, and maybe like, I don't know. I don't know what you do all day, but I'm assuming it's just binge watching anime all day.
No, that's my only and comment. That hard work is basically nonsense. I'd much rather prefer to go down easy street, so to speak.
Go down easy street. Attitude like that, Ty, we're never going to grow the podcast.
I can live with that.
Okay, so, besides that, Rocky does admit to being afraid, so maybe, like, I don't know.
Honesty. Honesty. Mickey lies.
Maybe, like, honesty and self-diagnosis. I don't know what you'd say for that. I think that's all. It's not a super particularly, besides those, heavy on themes, but yeah. Oh, but then there's also the Eye of the Tiger, which just means that, I guess, getting your heart back. Not literally, but like getting the fighting spirit you once had back.
Yeah, getting a heart transplant so that you can after yeah. you know.
So you can have an Iron Man arc repulsor in your chest. And then you don't have to fight anyone, you can just blow them up.
I don't think that would be allowed in the ring, man.
Yeah, probably not. So, the music. Yes, the music has some very good music, though. I think it's kind of funny how when Eye of the Tiger, the instrumental for Eye of the Tiger is playing, Paulie complains, he can't train to the jungle gym music. Which is like, Eye of the Tiger is like known as like one of the most like inspirational workout songs ever because of Rocky. I mean, we can both agree with that. Like when like workout song comes into your mind, like you think of Eye of the Tiger, right?
Dun 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 dun.
Okay, I think we've heard enough time. I don't think we need any more off key humming.
Okay, I'm done.
What are you even singing? That doesn't sound like it. Are you doing Eye of the Tiger or what?
It's Chariots of Fire, man.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I guess that song would also be, but it feels like that's more like a heroic song. This is more like a, like, you know, train and, you know, train until you puke and then train some more kind of song, you know?
Yeah.
Not much, puke. Not as much, not as much heroics in that. I think, not much else for the music. The visuals didn't really rise above the last one. I mean, I didn't see much improvement there at all. They got, you know, a couple shots that worked for them, and they kind of just did the same ones they did in the second movie and this one. Did you notice anything on either of those two?
Yeah, you know, they were there.
Yeah. Well, I guess now we can go on to our final opinion. So I guess I'll start this time. Although I do see it has some problems with the way it's structured and maybe some of the character motivations with Rocky, I do think it has the best villain, a really good soundtrack, and as Ty said earlier, I think it's the most entertaining because of his relationship with Paulo. With Paulo. It's like Polly and Apollo. With
Apollo.
I think there's some really great exchanges in this movie. Mickey dies feels a little kind of out there, but overall, I think this is one of the better Rocky movies.
So, this film, it's definitely, it is a film, that's for sure. You can tell that I feel like after Rocky 2, after Rocky 1 against Apollo, that instantly destroyed a lot of the stakes they could have gone with, and it also destroyed any chance of bringing it back to the more relatable, down-to-earth Rocky, who wasn't going to win the fight. He was just going to last 15 rounds, right? He just wanted to last 15 rounds. And I feel like this is the full, you know, this is what that eventually leads to. This is the best part of what that eventually leads to, that mindset of now we only have the invincible, heroic Rocky who will never, ever lose against anybody in the heavyweight championship, right? I mean, he might lose, well, but he'll does. Always have a comeback. He'll lose, but he'll make a comeback, right? And so while this is good, fundamentally, it's just totally different from the other two Rocky films, because it's basically about a different character. It's basically a different story. And for my money, I prefer the previous two. So, myself, I'd have to give it a 6 out of 10. Honestly, it was more entertaining, but if I look at it, if I genuinely look at it, the faults were more numerous than the successes. And overall, it just lost a lot of the... By making Rocky this invincible hero now, who can even defeat Apollo Creed, this random nobody in the ultimate underdog story managing to win, like, now it's just... It doesn't have quite the same heart of the previous two. Doesn't have the same substance, the same core.
I do agree that it is different than the other two. It does feel like they made a shift during this one. But it's definitely a shift that I'm okay with. Like, I know there's, like, not as much stakes now, and it kind of feels more like episodes. But in terms of that, if I were to rate which episode I like the best, I mean, I'd have to say this one was just the best for me. Like, I think it's probably due to the villain and the performances in the movie. And, I think just based on personal enjoyment and some of the things that I really liked about it, I'm just going to have to give it an 8 also, you know? I mean, call me crazy if you want, but...
Crazy.
How I feel about it, still how I feel about it, it's an 8 to me. I could watch it anytime, anywhere.
Yo, crazy! It. Where you at?
So, I think, together, the Narrative Calculus podcast gives Rocky 3 a 7 out of 10.
Yep. Yeah. Cool beans.
If you enjoyed this episode of Narrative Calculus, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to leave a 5-star review down below. We'd really appreciate some more reviews from you guys, because we really want to know, like, what do you think of our content? Like, well, what do you think we could improve on, or what do you like about us, or, you know, just help spread the word in general. And also, tell your friends to subscribe while we're at it. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Again, this is our third episode of our Rocky series, coming out from the 23rd to the 27th, because we're so thankful for you guys, and we really hope you're enjoying the series. We're going to have some more Christmas specials coming up pretty soon, so be sure to keep your eye out for that. And check out some of our other episodes while you're at it, like our other two Rocky episodes if you haven't listened to it yet. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye!